Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 380 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week starts us off on our Humana coverage for 2014. The 38th Humana Festival of New American Plays. Our episodes get started today with a discussion of partners with the playwright Dorothy Fortenberry. So we'll get into that discussion just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, so I'm joined by playwright Dorothy Fortenberry, and we're going to discuss her play Partners. So, welcome. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. So, is this your first experience with Humana as...
It is. I had never come to see anything. I've never before. It's all been an adventure.
Has it been overwhelming or?
A little bit at times, but it's been great. I just, the hospitality that they have shown me, the playwrights, like all the playwrights and company members and everyone feels taken care of and included, is really special.
So, how has the process been for you through the rehearsals and then? Into the woman.
It's all really good. I love our director, Lila. Incredible, and our cast and design team is great. I feel like there's sort of an idea in theater that it has to be, you know, a horrible process, and there are all the stories about like, and then the set got on fire, and then someone, you know, almost stabbed himself. But then the show was amazing, and you can get a little nervous if it's going well, and you're kind of like, we like each other. I think we're having fun. You know, is this going to harm the end result? But, no, I think we had a really lovely process, and I think we ended up with a really lovely show.
Well, how did you, what was the germination of this idea? Where did the...
It is about my own experiences, my friends' experiences. It's about relationships, and watching the assumptions that you can make about relationships.
Right. I found it interesting that you had the two couples and that, like you said, the shift on everything's going great and then just one little thing sort of starts to snowball and affecting everybody. The idea of the vows and how it was interesting to me because me and my wife, we went the traditional is the proper term, but right, the, you know, Evan Holden, Richard Poor, singer around. So a lot of kind of the, you know, for me personally, some of the couples who had the non-traditional sort of vows, you know, it was kind of like, yeah, that's what you do. I mean, you know, but the idea that because they didn't say those words, that it didn't really.
Yeah, I think there's something happening right now about sort of marriage. It's very open, I think, in an exciting way, but also a sort of scary way about what does it mean and, you know, is there one standard thing that marriage means? And so if you meet people and they're married, you're like, oh, I know what that is. or is it something that every couple defines kind of in their own unique way? And I think the vows are a part of that. Is there a standard set of vows that people make to each other and that is sort of transferable couple to couple? Or is there this impulse to sort of craft your own special vows? But I feel like, you know, for me, I'm skeptical of the ability of created vows to focus on the dark stuff. And I think that's actually something about the traditional vows is they are, you know, they mention a lot of very bad things.
They lock you in, that's sure.
And, you know, it's not like I promise to have fun with you. You know, it's about the negative. But I think then, hopefully, if your marriage is challenged, you can lean on that. Because you're like, well, we said this thing and it encompassed this negative thing and we're going to deal with it. And I think it is when you focus on the positive and you sort of don't think about the negative thing happens, then, you know, what do you have to lean on? What did you know? And I think it's a really, I don't have the answer.
Right.
I really don't, but I have
to. And I like the aspect that there was the issue of gay marriage came up, but it wasn't a gay marriage play.
Yeah, no, I think it's a marriage play.
Yeah.
And I think the, you know, increasing legalization and gay marriage is a wonderful thing, and I think it allows us an exploration of marriage in general, about, you know, what is this thing that we're suddenly now making available to all these people, and what is great about it, and what is challenging about it, and what does it mean in anyone's life to decide to get married.
Right, and I like the female character who is very, you know, kind of championing the cause, and the gay couple really kind of were just like, well, it's our issue, but you know, we're doing it our own way, kind of thing. I thought that was a nice like touch to, you know, because again, it could have easily kind of become this thing that it wouldn't have worked, you know, for me anyway, as an audience member. And the other thing that I thought is, well, how does this translate across, you think, generation lines? Like, how do you think the older generation, you know, especially about the idea of the marriage and the vows and everything, like, how is the response?
Yeah, I think in watching audiences, everyone has found a really different entry. I think something that's I've noticed just in talking to people is that older audiences, I think, find it funnier, like not laugh more, but just think of it as a comedy. And I think younger audiences think of it as a tragedy.
Right.
You know, they
right.
come out kind of devastated, or, you know, when I talk to people in their 20s, they're like, I never want to get married.
Right.
You know, this play is so bleak. And I think in some ways, for older folks, they've, you know, been through more and seen more. And so.
And have had those situations
come up.
Yeah.
And so they can sort of view it with a.
Right. Yeah, I sort of leaned more on the, you know, that sort of thing has happened and this sort of thing has happened. And,
I think, and people have been in a great way very open with me about what it brings up in their own personal life. So I've heard a lot of stories about the marriages or the divorces or their partnerships or relationships or who's engaged, and, you know, all that stuff. And also work partnerships. People have been very open. Like, oh yeah, this person and I tried to start a company together, and here's what went wrong, and this thing happened with money. And so I love that. That's my favorite.
I also like the idea that every one of the characters had moments that you sort of root for them, and then they have moments where you're like, you don't.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Really important.
You know, there's no like a clear hero per se, you know, that made it, I guess, seem more lifelike, I suppose.
Yeah.
We don't have the tragic heroine or the brash.
Yeah, no, nobody has a monopoly on righteousness or good ideas. Everybody, I tried really hard to have empathy with where everybody's coming from. Everybody hurts somebody. Everybody hurts somebody pretty seriously, but I also try to understand why that hurt happened, you know, what they were in pursuit of, you know, what did they do in life.
So in this process, this rehearsal process, where they're like, are you a massive rewriter, or you reach a certain point and you're like, hey, let it go?
For this particular poem, for the whole process, I was tinkering quite a bit, but no major structural changes. I think the sort of the math of the play, like the scene, that I had worked on for a while and I had to be comfortable with and think about. But the nuanced moment-to-moment stuff, I would definitely, there were millions of drafts of, incredibly tiny changes, but ones that mattered to me. And that is also something that I feel very grateful for actors for, because they were very helpful and honest about what was working for them and what wasn't, or if there was just a word or a phrase, they're like, yeah, I just don't think it's going to say it like that. Mm-hmm. So I learned a ton from them about just how to ground my language.
So what is what's the next thing for you?
The next thing for me, on Monday, I go to Washington, D.C., and I'm participating in a small presentation on plays about genetics. A play called Good Egg, which is about a woman who is trying to decide whether or not to screen her embryos for bipolar disorder. Sort of ethics of being able to have an element of choice in pregnancy. Select men with embryos, and also what does it mean to live with disease and an issue. And there are a bunch of different players who all have written plays that have some relationship to stuff like that. And so we'll all be having scenes read, and then we'll be able to. I'm really excited.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
And then you see for that, and then I go back home to Florida. Another place that I live is from a place called The Hundred, which is on the CW. And another place that I might.
Yeah. Busy, busy.
I'm very busy. I'm very happy and very busy.
Well, thank you for making time. All right, so I'd like to thank Dorothy Fortenberry and joining me today, early Sunday morning, for the discussion of her play Partners. So up next week, for the Inexplicable Dumb Joe's coverage of the Humana Festival of New American Plays, 38th annual, will be the discussion with Lucas Nath and Les Waters of Lucas's play, The Christians. So we're going to get in all that next week. So if you want to be part of the dumb show, we're at the Humana Festival, and you got an opinion about Partners, please share that with me. Call 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or reach out to me on Twitter, @inexplicableds, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Follow them up with the latest comings and goings and whatnots for the Inexplicable Dumb Show via our Twitter feed. And as a personal side note and a Humana tangent, of course, look out for The Unseen, which I'm directing for Tennessee Rep's Intern Rep Showcase, which is coming up this April 27th and 28th. So a lot of good things spout from Humana. So until next week, hey, I'll see you.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnitude. We are not evil.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.